This is Racing HQ on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Well, the impact of the ongoing drug investigations. Thought it was certainly a subject that needed some discussion. And joining us this morning is Jason Abrahams from Champion Thoroughbreds. Morning to you, Jason.
Morning, Hoss. How are you?
Very well indeed. Jace, I want to talk about your horses as well. I noted that Kuro's gone down to Melbourne, but the ongoing investigations that we're reading virtually every day about, is it having an impact on your business and other syndication businesses? And I guess the big question, is it having an impact on getting new owners into the sport?
I believe it is. We're definitely seeing a little bit of softness in the market from a syndicator's point of view this year. Now, we haven't had owners or potential owners coming up to us and directly saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to buy a share in a horse this year because of the drug scandal. But we are just seeing some hesitation there. But in saying that, I would say that the prices of yearlings has gone up nearly 20% this year. So maybe that's also having an effect. So it's hard to exactly pinpoint it, but I feel as though there is a little bit of hesitation in the market out there, particularly in our clientele, which is the mums and dads who like to go to the races. And they're always the people who are reading the papers every day, and they don't want to be involved in clouds over their investment. It's discretionary money, so it's not something they want to get too involved with, for sure.
I guess the hardest question here, Jason, and we probably can't get a relevant answer to it directly, is that, is it one thing or the other? Is it the prices going up, or is it this that people are reading in the papers? It might be a mixture of everything.
I would say so. Look, I think there's plenty of positives in the industry as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the tax parity coming into play down the track, and the increased prize money, and the championships being such a great advertisement for the industry, that creates a lot of interest, particularly with our clientele. But to counteract that, obviously, reading negatives in the paper each day, it's much like supporters of rugby league, and when they see negative feedback there, the mums and dads go, well, maybe my kids should play a different sport. So
yeah.
I see some parallels amongst the two codes, but look, it's not ideal. You'd like it to be short, sharp, and dealt with, but obviously we're playing with people's lives and reputations as well, so I can understand the time it takes to sort these things out.
I know you've got horses in Melbourne, and I won't name any trainer in particular. There's three, obviously, that are in the news, but you've got horses in Melbourne that are with those stables that I guess you've just got to monitor the situation on how it plays out down there once these hearings take place.
Yeah, sure, and I think from our point of view, obviously, it's a wait-and-see game for us. We're very supportive of our trainers, and we're not doing anything until we get a result from the stewards in Victoria. I like to think that we'll just wait and see and make our move based on what the results are of the investigation.
Understand. Kuro, as I say, has been sent to Melbourne to basically prepare long-term for an Oakley plate next autumn. It comes around pretty quickly, the spring into the autumn. How's he doing in Melbourne?
Look, he's been there about a week now. He had 2 weeks of pre-training up at Wyong at Emeryn Park, and where we do all our pre-training. He had a month up in Brisbane to spell, and did well under the warmer conditions up there. But from our point of view, he's a colt. He's had 2 starts in Group 1s, and he's run a second and a third. So he's not too far off hitting the mark. And given his looks and his pedigree, we'd really like to have a crack at turning him into a stallion somewhere. But to do that, obviously, needs to win a headline race. Now, whether that's a Group 2 or a Group 1. But, look, given the programming of Sydney, where there's 3 sprints in the spring all up, for these kinds of horses, it seems a no-brainer to have him based in Melbourne, where he's got a lot more options, not only for the spring, but as you say, the autumn comes up fairly soon. I think the Oakley plate's in February. So obviously we've got to have our plans in place pretty much now to aim him towards that. It's a handicap, 1,100 metres, kind of all suits him.
Yep.
So we'd love to have him, ship shape for then, and make sure that we're not kind of missing anything along the way, and you know, as I said to the owners, we've got one chance at turning this horse into a stallion, and you'd hate to look back in 12 months' time and have regrets that you didn't kind of place him in the best possible spot to get a result for him.
Yeah, no, I understand. Target Inside and Diamond Oasis, they're about to come back into work in Sydney?
Yep, they'll come back to Joe's stable in the next couple of weeks. Target Inside, look, he'll probably get a couple of runs in the spring, maybe one in Sydney. The shorts, I think, would be a good race for him. And then send him down to Melbourne, maybe the Gill Guy or something like that could suit him down the straight at Flemington. Mm. But ideally for him, he's a Magic Millions horse, and, you know, there's $1 million on offer in the sprint up there in January. So our main objective with him will be to get him up there, have him in cotton wool pretty much between now and then, and it's a $1 million race. So, yeah, that would be his main objective. Diamond Oasis, he's an out-and-out sprinter, and, you know, we might try and get him down to Melbourne at some stage, maybe for a 1,000-metre race around Moonee Valley or something like that. You'd love to have him ready for something like the Moira, and if it happened to rain, it'd be ideal for him. But, look, he's a horse that he's had a few little injuries, put us behind the eight ball, a fraction. Look, given the right conditions, he's a pretty decent sprinter.
He is. We thank you for your time this morning, Jason, particularly on the serious issue that we spoke about, but your horses. In fact, we're going to be joined by the trainer, the new trainer, the part trainer of Kuro. He's coming up on another subject in just a moment. Thanks for your time, mate.
No troubles at all. Thanks, Andrew.
Jason Abraham's there. We're going to follow it. Darren Smith's case, he's appealed 15-year disqualification. It's being handed down in 10 minutes. We understand that reading could go anywhere up to an hour. So as soon as we get news on Darren Smith's appeal hearing, we'll bring it to you. Lee Friedman does join us. Morning to you, Lee.
Good morning, Mr. Bensley. How are you?
I'm very well. That was Jason Abrahams. He gave us a good report on Kuro, a new horse into the team in Melbourne.
Yes, he settled in very well. Lovely horse. Got a lot of presence about him and in excellent condition. So we're looking forward to getting going with him in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, that's good. The news came out yesterday morning. Horses travelling from Germany are now free to travel into Australia, and that's pretty crucial to you. Could you have one or two that could come out of that part of the world for the Melbourne Spring?
Yes and no. We do, when I say we, my owners have two horses up there. They're pretty much the same ownership group in both horses. Shimrano, the three-year-old, and a four-year-old by the name of Gardini, who's quite an accomplished horse.
Yep.
I've actually just got off the phone with Ozzie Kerr, our fearless leader and head of those syndicates.
And, yep.
We're sort of putting some plans together as to how we want to attack things now, and obviously, Shimrano, if he were to come out, wouldn't be to race in the spring. It would be to probably spell, and then, because being a three-year-old, he doesn't actually turn four until January.
Yep.
So, you know, if he were to come out, it would be my inclination just to potter through to late summer, autumn next year and get going with him. Now, the other horse is in a different situation. He won in brilliant time at a Group 2 first up over a mile and a half, and then has put in two substandard runs since then. We've moved him from his original trainer to our guy, Paul Harley, who trains Shimano, so that we can have more. We've got a very good rapport with Paul. He's a terrific guy, and I can discuss the horses freely with him. And Paul's very, very pleased with the horse now that he's got him, and just sorted out a couple of shoeing issues, et cetera, and very pleased with the horse. So it's a matter of whether he runs again over there and then comes out, or whether Paul just gets him up to as fit as he can and then sends him out. But there is a good chance, if Paul's happy with Gardini, that he'll come out for the Cups.
So the way he won that race, you say, over the mile and a half, he was pretty good that day. You want to see that turn up, not the, I guess, the last two runs.
Correct. But I think what that exemplifies, though, is that, Andrew, that the horse was in great form first up and then something's gone wrong.
Yep.
They don't lose their ability overnight, but sometimes there's issues that are worrying them. And Paul's very confident that the horse is in really good health again now, so we'll be interested to see what he says over the next few weeks.
Okay, so he's the one that we expect rather than Shimrano. If Shimrano comes, it's unlikely to run during the spring.
Well, true. I mean, Shimrano's down to running the pre von Baden Baden, the Group 1, and down in Baden Baden early September.
Yep.
That's Paul's plan, and, you know, provided he's happy with the horse, that's where he'll be heading. But really, for a three-year-old of his ilk, and he's still quite immature, I doubt that he'd come to race, but he may eventually come out here during the spring or towards the end of the spring to prepare for the autumn.
I want to ask you just briefly, there was another one that I saw a video of this morning. I must admit, just looking at it for the first time, Goldstream.
Yes.
He blew him away to win the Italian Derby. I don't know what was behind him, but he did it really strongly, Lee.
Well, that's always the query. You know, I know the Australian bloodstock have bought him, and he's a horse, so obviously got ability, but don't know whether you can measure Italian Derby form up with English, French or German Derby form, which has been quite strong in recent years, particularly the German Derby form.
Yep.
So I guess it's a matter of wait and see, but he's clearly he's a horse of ability, yeah.
The main thing is that the clearance is now there. They had an infectious disease. They had to get it cleared, and thankfully, if you're watching these horses now, you can.
Yes, I mean, I totally understand Aquis's stance on that because of, obviously, the EI problem some years ago. My understanding of the Glanders issue was that it was pertaining to one show horse in the south of Germany, and that was several months ago, and that horse was subsequently died or destroyed, and there hasn't been any other outbreaks of the disease. So obviously Aquis are more than happy that it was a one-off event that was contained, and there has been no infectious transfer of the disease to any other horses.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Can you win a race at Bendigo today?
We have Arnina in. She's a filly, a faster rock filly that Anthony trained. Had quite a few issues and has taken quite a while to sort of come to herself. But her first up run was excellent, and she's in a race she can just about win today.
All right, that's race 2, number 9 at Bendigo. We'll keep an eye on these horses, Lee, and we wish you the well. Mate, keep well.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lee. Lee Friedman joining us there from Melbourne. So some positive news there. John Sargent's online. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Some mixed news this morning. I know a long-term client of yours has passed away in Hong Kong in the last week or two, Oliver Wong. And with that, there's been some changes in some ownership of some leading horses for the spring ahead.
Yes, he races his horse in Australia with myself and David Hayes, and because of him passing away, his wife decided to just keep the Group 1 winning Oaks winner, Gust of Wind, and sell the others. So at this stage, we've sold some, and in the process of selling others, hopefully I'll keep them to train.
Now, Thunder Lady is one that's been bought by the owner of Criterion.
Yeah, so Owen Glenn from New Zealand's bought Thunder Lady, so that's a great thrill because he wants to carry on racing out of my stable, and she'll go from when she's finished racing, go to Criteria and it's stud. So, no, that's good that Sir Owen's bought. I've got two or three, four horses in work for him, so that argues well.
No, that's good. Gust of Wind, you say Oliver Wong's wife will maintain ownership there, And I know there's one out of David Hayes' stable, Star Fashion, that's been bought by other clients as well.
Yes, I think that's already been sold to either go to stud or carry on racing as well. But he's got some others. Champion Stage has been bought by Bellevue Stud. I took her up to the Queensland Oaks and she got a stone bruise. She got on the ballot of the the Oaks and she got a stone bruise, so she couldn't run in the Queensland Derby. But she'll carry on racing with me as well, Champion Stage. And he's got other horses here that are unnamed that were in process of selling.
And with Gust of Wind, Thunder Lady and Kiramosa, they're all down to trial next week?
Yep, they're all ready to go next Friday, as long as the track's not too heavy. On the 31st, so they're well on target, all of them injury free. It's good to see Kiramosa back to where she was too, so they'll all be Melbourne bound in the spring, some earlier than the others, and but they'll all probably have a run or two first, Andrew, 14 and a mile, and then head down to Melbourne.
Understand. All right. Well, look, the sad news is that Oliver Wong lost a battle to cancer last week, but Sir Owen Glenn has bought Thunder Lady, and as you've mentioned, Oliver's wife will maintain the ownership of Gust of Wind. Mate, you've got two in today at Warwick Farm. Can you win one out there?
I think, my first one...
Paragon?
Paragon probably needs a bit further. He's getting ready to go over ground. So I don't think he'll... probably a place at the best end for him. But I think the other one is a chance. It'll get back in the running. But the way Shin's riding at the moment, Coombrin could be a definite chance today.
That's race 5, number 5. All right, mate, we wish you the best today, and we'll watch those trialers next week at Randwick.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, yes. John. John Sargent there running through some key news regarding his three fillies about to become mares, in particular Thunder Lady and Gust of Wind. Mark Hunter's online to get some winners for Bendigo. Mark, good morning to you. They're saying maybe a possible shower through the afternoon.
Yeah, I think they had something like 8 mils overnight, Andrew, so it's down to a slow 7, a soft 7.
Soft 7 it is. What have you found for us as the good things?
Look, we'll go for a bit of value here. The first one, race 6, number 7, My Obsession, is pretty close to the each-way mark. This horse has had the two runs back from a spell. It came from back in the field last start against a very similar field. That race was very much leader dominated. It was back and it was wide, and it was a day at Bendigo where you couldn't really do that and make a lot of ground. I don't know it on the soft ground, but with the rail back in the true position, I think it's perfect for its style of racing. It's parked midfield. I think it's only got to handle the ground, and it's clearly the one to beat in race 6.
Righto, so that's race 6, number 7, My Obsession.
Into race 7, number 8, Lord Barrington. Again, you've got each way odds here. Just failed last start at Warrnambool. Arguably a bit unlucky against Strong Hand, who's a pretty promising horse for Darren Weir. Gets a lovely run here for Steve Arnold from the barrier. Should park over the 1,300 metres, probably leaders back. Fourth or fifth at worst. Look, there's a lot of these that haven't got much winning chance. I think Lord Barrington each way will get a great run and you won't do your money.
Righto. So the two there, race 6, number 7 and race 7, number 8, they incorporate into the quaddy. So let's look at the quaddy, beginning with race 5.
It's a really tough race. There's a stack of speed. I'm going 4, 10, 6 and 5. A number 4, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, come across here for Patrick Payne from New Zealand. I'd say there's no doubt this horse will end up over the sticks. It'll get back. It's just really strong. And I just think with the mad pace that's going to be on up front, it can grind its way into the race to beat number 10, Master's Degree. It's one of those leaders that I gave you a little push for it last start on radio in town. It was close to 100-1. It just did a bit much work and knocked up in the straight. It should be fit now and Craig Williams takes over. A 6, Zarsparella, gets a lovely run behind them for Oliver. It's going to get every possible chance. And 5, Sir Laszlo, who was too strong for them in Adelaide. It's a race, quite a bit of depth. I'll go 4, 10, 6 and 5.
4, 10, 6 and 5 there. Race 6, you start off with My Obsession, number 7.
Yes, 7, 2, 4 and 5, My Obsession to win. Number 2, Raven's Fire. This, again, looks like the leader. It's going to control the race, got the claim for Michael D. 4, Hayite, is just a wet tracker. Got back, was a big strong win last start, albeit against weaker company. And 5, Barely Ascent, who's gone out favourite. Look, it gets a nice run. I couldn't find any excuses for it last start. It's got some chance. 7, 2, 4 and 5.
Race 7, again, Lord Barrington there, number 8.
Yeah, 8, 2, 12 and 16. Number 8, Lord Barrington, my pick. 2, So Does He, is having its first start here for Sean Mathrick, ex-Causton's horse. Its best form, certainly competitive. It wasn't disgraced, even though it was a 0 last time. It wasn't disgraced in better company. 12, Kiwi Cates, had the one run for Darren Weir. It was in a weaker race at Warrnambool, but it did make good ground. And struggling for a fourth pick, I thought number 16, Solar Bird, had some hope from the gate. For me, mainly 8, 2 and 12 ahead of 16.
Right, and what about the last there at 4.47?
Yeah, I'll go 2, 9, 5 and 12. Number 2, Tiller Bell Rings, is a horse that showed terrific promise. Had a spell, it's come back. It's got ordinary numbers next to its name, but you look at its last run at Flemington, it had no luck. It only got out late and was really charging to the line. I think it's ready to fire. To beat number 9, Human League. Wetter the better. This horse ran well at the Valley the other day on a criminal leader's track. 5, Cushy Number, has had a couple of starts for Darren Weir. Not much luck last time. Looks ready to fire. And 12, Rebuilding, who's just a model of consistency. It was a good win last start. It's going to be in the finish again. 2, 9, 5 and 12.
All right, that's the legs of the quaddy. of rain overnight, soft 7 at this stage, and they're saying possible showers through the afternoon, the first at 12:32. And just while I've got you, Mark, I spoke with Darren Weir this morning about the Warrnambool Cup winner, Tall Ship. Has been back in work for about 6 weeks down at Warrnambool's base. He probably trials in a couple of weeks, but he's done really well. And just a word of warning on sign-off. He's back in doing some rehabilitation work on the treadmill. They certainly don't want to risk him, given his value. It's likely, they'll assess along the way, but it's likely that the Sydney Cup in the autumn will be instead of the spring. It might be just too quick for a horse recovering from an injury. But there's an update on Tall Ship for you, Mark.
Well, let's hope it progresses very nicely, Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck today, mate.
Thank you.
Mark Hunter looking at Bendigo. Just in other news snippets, disappointing news. Purchased by Australian Bloodstock was Turubi out of Europe for David Payne. The horse has been retired. Every time they bring the horse into a preparation, he becomes lame. So there'll be a stallion future found for Turubi, who won a Group 2 at Longchamp back in July of last year. We'll take a break on Racing HQ and then our preview of Warwick Farm.
The champion tag is on the line as the best in the business do battle for Sydney's George Moore Medal.
Allegria by a head on the line to El Lou, with Duccio in third and James McDonald reclaims the lead in the premiership.
James McDonald, Blake Shin and Hugh Bowman are fighting out an enthralling Sydney Jockeys premiership. Join us as we capture every thrilling moment right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
24 months interest-free on now at Harvey Norman. That's zero interest, no deposit and no payments until July 2017. Home appliances, technology and entertainment. Furniture, bedding and Manchester. All with 24 months interest. Zero interest, no deposit, no payments until July 2017. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed amount $300. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Hurry, limited time only. 24 months interest-free at Harvey Norman.
For the greatest range of bikes, drop into Bates Bikes. Bates Bikes have been catering for all cyclist needs for